So remember when I was younger, I was younger and I had red hair. So I tell people, if you have red hair, this is your destiny right here. This is it right here. So this is what it looks like. And mom would take us, all five of us, to church every week. I think probably for her it was like a relief, you know, get them to church, you know, and, you know, let the science school teachers deal with them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so she would take us, and, you know, and during church we had all of our own row. So back then, so like up in the balcony, we had pews. And so mom would take us and line us up there, and we'd have to listen. And if there was, we were every Sunday, if we had a pin for like 5 years or 10 years in a row with never missing a Sunday, I think we would all got pins because mom did that. And then if there was a special series of services, you know, like in the evenings or something like that, somebody would come in, we'd be there every night. You know, every night. Didn't make any difference about school the next day. We'd be there every night. And sometimes, back in that time, like the evangelists would go, well, I just think we should go another week, which would mean that the Dushman kids would be lined up for another week, the next week, you know, in church, you know. Mom, I think, just praying that Jesus would do something in these guys' life, you know. Do something. I can't, you know. I think that was their prayer. And then sometimes they actually went beyond that, and we're going to go another week, so the Dushman family would be lined up there. I can remember during those days that God planted a vision in my heart and in my life. And I remember just as a young guy, I can't say that like Jesus spoke to me or, you know, that type of thing. Like, it was just this, something just landed on me. And that's the only way I could describe it. And it was just this, is like, someday, I think that's what I should be doing. That right there. I just want to serve you full time. You know, those kind of words, you know. And I lived with that for a long time, even in my younger years, growing up. And then, you know, life came in. I said, sometimes, you know, life comes in, right? It gets complicated. It gets confusing sometimes for all of us. And so life kind of pressed in. I went to college, met my wife in college. Best thing that ever happened in my life outside of receiving Jesus, I married her. And so we got that. And then the next best thing, we had kids, you know. And then the greatest thing, you know, finally we had grandkids, you know. And like they're greater than most anything, you know, and say they're God's gift for not killing your own kids. So if you hang on if you have kids and you're waiting for grandkids anyway. So and then I got a job. And I got a really good job. And I think that vision and that dream kind of took backseat. You know, life got going, and you know, I had this job, and it was a well-paying job, and it was providing for my family and all. But sometime in that framework, in that time of my life, it's just like God began to kind of rebirth this dream and kind of rebirth this vision of serving him full time, which I count such a privilege to be able to do and honor. And the day came when we said goodbye. We walked away from this job over here that was taking care of my family and taking care of a lot of things. And my wife, man, I mean, a wife that will follow you into the unknown. I just can't thank God enough. There's a lot of you out there, by the way, you've done the same thing. And so Jen followed me, and because God had rebirthed this dream in my heart, this passion to serve him full time. And I know we all serve him. I understand that. I get that. But to do what I'm doing today, and then God has just directed us and led us. And so last night in our prayer time, I said, you know, I don't always get why I get to do what I do here today. And you allow me to do it and to serve and to live out this vision and to live out this dream. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And here's my prayer for you today as we kind of dive into this series called Next, Looking at Nehemiah, because some of you are sitting here today and God birthed a dream in your heart and it's gotten lost. Life's kind of come in, maybe it's gotten confusing to you, or other things are crowded in, and maybe it's work and it's providing for your family, or it's this or it's that, or you know, you're trying to go it alone as a parent, you know, and I get that too, you know that. God birthed a dream in your heart some time ago, and somehow it's gotten lost. And as I have prayed, I pray, God, would you today do for many today? You're here and you're online and you're in the balcony, the overflows. Would you rebirth dreams and visions today of what you want to do? I don't care what your age is. I don't care how young or how old. In your retirement years, God, would you rebirth a dream? Would you rebirth a vision that you have given? Whatever that looks like, in as young as you might be, God, would you keep that vision alive? Would you rebirth that vision? For some of us, I'm praying that Jesus would give us something brand new today. He's the God of new. Amen? He is. That he would give us something absolutely brand new. Something that we're going to talk about in just a moment that takes us way beyond ourselves, but points us to who Jesus is. And says, look, that's what God did. That's what God did. And so that's what we're talking about. And here's what I'm going to do. Last week, as we gathered for Easter, I said we're going to do kind of a soft launch, and it was barely that of this series Next. And so here's many of you. We had about 500 of these books Next. And if you brought your book, keep it with you. If you don't have a book, underneath your seat or somewhere, there are books. We put as many as what we had left, we put them out there. And in the balcony, you can get up right now if you want and go to the exits. There's books there. And I'm just going to give them to you. Others have paid. And if you want to drop a donation in the buckets a little bit later, you can do that. But I'm going to encourage you to take this. Our team published this book. This is just ours. This is just for us. And what you're going to find, I love it. I'm so thankful for our team put this together. And it will walk you through the teaching notes for each Sunday and then a devotion for each day that will focus on a thought. So our confession affirms our need. That was one day. So it will take you into Nehemiah, take you into the Psalm, into the Proverbs, into the Old Testament, the New Testament. And then on Saturday, so next Saturday, it'll be a Nehemiah passage that we're going to be looking at on Sunday. So I just invite you to take that. And there are some places for you to include your daily thoughts down there. And then Shelley wrote a page here for children. So if you are here with kids and you have children, there's a page for you to use, devotions for your kids. And Josiah wrote one for students, and Jessica wrote one for groups. So if you're in groups, so there's a lot of things there. So I encourage you to do that. And then there's a second sheet beside you just for today, and they're the fill-ins for week one. Now, I'm going to take you through week one, and I'm going to ask for your early forgiveness because I'm going to talk fast probably and talk a lot today because I need to cover week one really quick to catch us up to where we are today. So that's this sheet right here, and those are the fill-in notes that you can use. And if you're online today, YouVersion Events, we'll get to week two in just a moment or thing. I believe that God wants to bring us into opportunities to be used for his glory. Do you? That's what we're talking about. We're going to see that in the life of Nehemiah today. So the question is, what moment has God brought you into today, or does he desire to bring you into? What moment? And we're sitting here. That's going to look different for each one of us today. Another way to say it is, what opportunity is before you today? What has he placed in your heart? What opportunity has God placed before you in your business, in your work life, in your family, whatever that looks like? What opportunity is before you? Just listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Opportunity, make the most. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Wants you. And so opportunity literally means that we are going to redeem the time to do something with intensity and urgency. In other words, God is bringing this opportunity into your life and opportunity in my life, and we're going to redeem that time as he enables us to do. with an urgency that says, look, an intensity, God has brought me here for this moment. God has brought you into an opportunity for this moment. It will look different for each one of us, but what is it? And we're going to do these things, and you will read the passage out of Nehemiah, and we're gonna see it again today, where God brings Nehemiah into a moment and into an opportunity so that he can work in Nehemiah and through Nehemiah, and we'll see that in just a few moments. But here's the key. What to understand what it is that the Lord wants us to do. Now, that is really key. It's not what it is that we want to do. It's we need to understand what God wants us to do. We'll look at more of that in just a moment. We need to pray for his understanding because understanding comes through prayer. And that's a key. And that's why part of a disciple's life has to be prayer. God, I need understanding and I need wisdom and I need direction. And understanding how God wants us to proceed in that opportunity or that dream or that vision will come through prayer. I have a particular prayer request I'm asking you to join me in, and I have it written down in my journal. And it says, for missions, I found in the last bit that God is just growing my missions heart. To reach people in our part of the county who don't know Jesus, you're around them and I live near them and so do you. And God, grow my heart. Let me see and understand the opportunities that you're putting before me to share who you are. And some of us have been now on this journey for a long time. Some of us are brand new to the faith. But does it make a difference, God? What opportunity? God, how about where you've called us overseas? Amongst the Wolof, amongst the Garwali people, in Basque country. God, what opportunities, and God, grow our missions heart, and I'm praying that Jesus will do that in all of us, and that we will respond to the opportunities before us, and I just invite you into that prayer, but here's what I know, that the way forward will only come through prayer as we spend time in prayer. And when we spend time in prayer, something comes very naturally. And here's what it is. We just confess our need for him. God, I don't have the understanding, and I lack the knowledge. I need you, and I confess my need for you in all of life. Whatever that, I confess my need for you to direct the way forward, for you to grow this vision and to grow this opportunity that you have given to me. D.L. Moody said this, why I wrote down in my next book. He says this. He says, if God is your partner, make your plans big. I love that. If God's your partner, then make your plans big. All to his glory. We're out of the equation. We'll talk about that in a moment. But make your plans big. So I'm making big plans for missions. I'm going to share with those with you in the coming days. I believe that God would just give us more understanding as a community, faith community. Make our plans be, because he wants to do something amazing. God plants a vision, and this is just completing your notes from last week, in our hearts of what he can do in us and through us. It always begins in us first before it goes through us. Has to. You see, it's not about who we are. It's about who Jesus is. And as Jesus does something in us, he will do something through us. So it begins right here. Envision these goals and these dreams in our lives for our business and for our careers and for our families, whatever that looks like for you, for your lost neighbor across the street. Always is birthed in the heart of God and revealed in the heart of man. It begins with what Jesus is calling us to do. Vision is birthed in the heart of God and revealed in the heart of man. So as we seek him, as we look to him, he will reveal what it is that he wants to do in us and through us. And sometimes this vision, it can feel kind of woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo out there, vision, woo-hoo-hoo. Sometimes it begins as a concern. Sometimes God will plant a concern in your heart, and that's akin to a vision or a dream or an opportunity that he wants to develop in you and through you. It doesn't always require immediate action. Sometimes it's, let's pray about this. You're going to see that in just a moment. Let's pray about this and then let God work in us and through us in his timing. That's hard. A God-inspired vision will take us out of our own abilities, which can place us in a terrifying position. I'm going to say that again because it's so true. A God-given vision will take us out of our abilities, away from our abilities, and places which can place us in a terrifying position. Do you know why that is? Because we're human, that's why. Look at the person beside you and go, you're human. You're human, you're human, I'm human, I'm human, right? So we're human people. And so we like, do you like things to go your way? Yeah, we all do, don't we? And so we kind of like to figure it out. We like to know what the next step is and know what the next step, but that's not how God works. And that's the exciting part, right? So God-given vision takes us away from our abilities and puts us in a terrifying position, and which leads me to say, look, some of us, here's what we do. God, you have planted this vision in my heart, and this plan in my heart, but I just don't have the ability to do that. And you know what Jesus would say to that? Good. Because you're finally there. You're finally in the spot where I need you to be, because it is not your ability. You are absolutely right. It's not your ability. It's not who you are. It's who Jesus is. God, I don't have the ability to see this dream come true, or this vision, this thing you planted in my heart, or that you are right now rebirthing, because I believe God's going to rebirth dreams and visions in many of us today. I don't have the ability to do that. Good, because neither do I. And that places in this trusting position, in this terrifying position sometimes, humanly speaking. Now, that was last week. Now we start this week. We're caught up, okay? And so I'm going to kind of lead us through, what does it look like now that God's birthed a vision and a plan and a dream in your heart? And I have a question for you. And so now if you have your book, we're on week number two. What represents perfect timing for you? What represents perfect timing for you? Let me ask you this. When you're ready? So sometimes perfect timing says, okay, God, I am now ready for this. So now you can do your thing. Have you ever done that? Or maybe it looks like this. God, I'm not ready yet, so you can't do that thing. So I'm not ready to move ahead there. Have you done that? Well, I have. And I've done the other too. Say, God, okay, hold on for just a moment. I have this dream. I have this vision. And I get this thing all worked out. And then I will invite you in. And we do that sometimes, don't we? Because in our minds, we've worked out the perfect timing. So when I get to this spot, or I get to this step, or I'm here, God, then now this is where we can do that thing right there that you called me to do. That's not how God works. And the really cool thing is, the really absolutely amazing thing is, when we step out of that and away from that, and we step into what we can call a bold step for Jesus, we begin to see how he works and how he orders our life in order to reveal who he is. That is so important, and that is so critical, because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about who Jesus is, you see, right? It's about who he is. And so when we move away from that, and we move away from this, and we say, God, this dream or this vision that you put into my heart for my business, and many of you are business owners, for my career, whatever that looks like, for those of you who have a career at home, meaning you have kids, which is, I think, the highest career, by the way, and it's the hardest job in the world. Moms, dads, you're here. Why do you think when your spouse leaves in the morning, they have a big smile on their face? Because they know they're going to something a lot easier than what they just left you with. That's why. So that's huge. That's huge. What bold step has God called you to take in order to reveal who he is? What about God placing a vision or rebirthing a vision in our heart and in our life to accomplish something great so that he receives the glory? And that's the place we find ourselves living. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you, God. And I want you to receive the glory in my business, in my career, in my home, in my relationships, whatever that looks like. So a long time ago, and I did not create it. I don't even remember who did. Someone said, look, let's call this thing a BHAG. A BHAG, okay? So a BHAG. Everybody say BHAG. B-H-A-G. There it is right there. So someone created this thing called a BHAG. And if I give you all the chances in the world, you might not even guess what BHAG stands for, but I'm going to give it to you. All right, ready right there? BHAG stands for Big Hairy Audacious Goal. This is Big Hairy Audacious Goal, you know. And I actually typed it in wrong. I put Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, so maybe Harry's big. I don't know, you know, but Big Hairy Audacious. Someone came up with that years ago. This is a goal that takes us outside of who we are. It's a great, big, hairy, audacious goal that is birthed from the heart of God. It's in the heart of God, and he's given to you. It's for your business, it's for your career, it's for your family, it's for your relationships, whatever it looks like. It'll be different for each one of us, but it takes us completely out of the equation. Those are the dreams and those are the visions that Jesus wants to give you, where we are no longer a part of making this thing happen. An equation, right, is something for sure. Like, so 2 + 2 = everybody should know that. 2 + 2 = right? It never equals 5 or 3 or anything else. It's the equation, so you can always depend upon it. This God-given dream or vision that he wants to plant in our hearts for what he wants to do takes us out of the equation completely, completely. God delights and God wants to do the things that seem impossible. That goal looks impossible. That's what Jesus wants to do in you and through you. That's what he wants to do in me and through me. For us. Let me help. They will be different, these God-given goals and dreams for everybody here today. They will be different, but they're God-given for you, for his glory. Let's remember that. So I want to make something really clear. I meant to do it at the start. That when we're talking about your business succeeding, if you're a business owner, or your career succeeding, or you succeeding in anywhere in life, financially or any other way, it's only for his glory. It's only. It's not so that you can have a great big home. Thank God for whatever you have. But that's not the purpose. It's not so you can have a big fat paycheck, because that's the prosperity doctrine and that's unbiblical. It's all about what Jesus wants to do in you and through you for his glory. So let him grow your business. Let him grow your life. Let him grow your pocketbook, whatever that looks like, your relationships. Ready? Everybody say it. For his glory. For his glory. So that his name will be made famous throughout the earth. That's what this thing is all about and only about. Let me give you some goals. Maybe they look like this. What if God birthed a vision in our hearts that no one in our community would go hungry? You feed, Gateway feeds 5,000 people a year, whatever it is, 5,000, 6,000 meals every year go out. What if we closed the kitchen? Because Jesus did something amazing in us and through us. We were able to take care of all those needs. What if that happened? You know what we would humanly do? Sometimes we sit around, we go like, okay, so here are all the obstacles to that. You know? And so that's what we kind of humanly do, don't we, with these dreams and visions that God planned. We go like, God, that just won't work. That won't work because this is what. What if we move away from that and we take ourselves out of the equation of God, this is what you want to do. And we just allow that vision, that God-given vision and dream, just to grow and to mature. And all of a sudden, we see what he's doing for his glory, for his purpose alone and only. What about that? What about What if God birthed in our heart? Every child would be in a loving home, and we could close foster care in Kitsap County. What would that look like? What would that be like? What would it be like if we just no longer needed Royal Family Kids Camp because every student was in a loving, caring, Jesus-honoring home? What would that look like? That's a dream and a vision that can only come from God. Well, if God wanted to bless your business, your career beyond what you can imagine, so he can work gloriously through you and through your life and through my life, so that he would be glorified, so that his name would be made famous. What if we had, what if God began to birth dreams and visions in your heart and in my heart? What could he do in us and through us? What if people drove by Gateway? I'm so thankful. I think every week I think about this. I am so thankful for past leaders, and some of you sitting here are in that group, who so faithfully carried out what God called you to do. Dreams and visions of what Jesus could do in his county, and you were faithful and you did. And because you did, we stand on a platform that you and God built together. What if people began to drive by Gateway here, the 10 acres in the center of this town right here, and they began to think, that's a place of hope. That's a place where they don't judge people. They just know how to love people. They care about people. Never been in there, but something draws them. This is not about building Gateway. It's not building any man's kingdom. It's about building God's kingdom. What if it looked like that? What if we were completely out of the equation and said, Jesus, just use me. Just use me. It's all about who you are. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and some of you will recognize that some of you are brand new to the Bible, and so it'll be new, and that's okay. It's in the Old Testament, Judges chapter 7. And so a guy named Gideon was about to go to battle. Now, If you're going to go to battle, if I'm going to go to battle, what is one thing we humanly want to do? See, what would it be? Big army, right? So, like, I'm just thinking, like, the more, the better, right? More people, more tanks or horses or chariots or whatever, you know? Like, that's really good because that pretty much assures the victory, right? So that's kind of what we're thinking. But listen, remember, God comes in and he goes, well, that's not the way I work. God's economy is different than our economy, right? Completely different. And so God says to Gideon, look, you've got like 30 plus thousand soldiers there, and that's way too many. Now, can you imagine when Gideon got that word? It was like, God, seriously? And God says, that's too many, because like if you listen now, this is important. I'm going to talk about dreams and visions. If you go into battle and you become victorious, you're going to think it's all about you. See, that's the thing. God plants a dream and a vision in your heart and in my heart. It takes us away from anything about us. It's just about him, see? So he says to Gideon, you got like 30 plus thousand soldiers there. So you just tell those who are afraid, go home. So I think Gideon was a little surprised when 22,000 people went home. It's like, are you serious? You fraidy cats, you scaredy cats, you know, all that kind of, like, that many people went home? And so Gideon goes, okay, fine, we got 10,000 or so. And God says, still got too many. See, this is God's economy, not ours, right? God's economy, not ours. And so God whittles that whole thing down to 300 people and wins the battle. Guess who won the battle? Everybody say God. God won the battle. It wasn't Gideon. God. That's what God wants to do through you and through me. He will win this battle, not because of us, but because of who he is. Now, that was a moment for Gideon. Let's check out this moment for Nehemiah in chapter 1 and I think this is in your book as well. In autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Now, God's going to bring Nehemiah into a moment here, right? Hannah and I, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. And so I asked him about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. Look what God does. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Remember week one, just 10 minutes ago? Understanding only comes out of prayer. Understanding only begins out of prayer. And God is now bringing Nehemiah into a moment, into a place where God was going to accomplish something huge that we're going to see in a number of weeks. And if you know the story and you can read ahead, you can see it there. God's bringing Nehemiah into a moment. He's planting something in his heart that came out of fasting and prayer as he lifted those prayers to the God of heaven. And suddenly, he began to see differently the place or the opportunity that he was now in. What if we begin to see differently the place or the opportunity God has placed us in? So some of us, our dream and visions, we thought, oh, this is, I just can't get a hold of that. It's way too big. What if you begin to see that differently? What if you begin to see that relationship that God wants to bring healing to, that you think is too big, it's in your heart, and it's something that God has placed there. What if you begin to see it differently as an opportunity that God has placed you in? Your business, your career, your family, and all that. You know, the family that you desire someday. What if you see it differently as, God, here's an opportunity for you to do absolutely something amazing. God birthed a vision, placed a moment in his heart as Nehemiah began to see differently. And that came out of prayer. And that's why I want to encourage each of us today. How would you view your life right now if you began to see it through God's eyes? What does it look like moving forward then? God's placed that vision in your heart and your life. Sometimes when he does that, we become paralyzed, don't we? Because we go like, God, that's too big. That's too huge. I can't. And so humanly speaking, we become paralyzed. And there's a word I'm going to use. It's called, we become terrified. Like, that can't happen. But remember, that's the place that God wants us, because now he can use us, because now we understand that we're out of the equation. We're going to see that in Nehemiah in chapter 1, verses 11 and verses 2 through 9. So, O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success by making the king favorably to me. He's lifting this prayer to God. So God's placed this moment in his heart and his life. Now he's saying, God, you grant me success by making the king favorable to me. By the way, this is huge. We can't go too much into it, but this is big. And this is huge, what's happening, what's taking place here. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. Not to treat me any other, but be kind to me. God, you do this thing. It has to be God. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer, and, you know, so beings, he just, like, tested the king's wine and stuff like that, make sure the king wasn't going to die, and, you know, if he didn't die, I guess the king wasn't going to die. So, anyway, that was his job. Early in the following spring, in the month of Nisan, now notice how long it took, right? Talk about God's timing in just a moment. During the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence, so the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. You think God's beginning to prepare something here? Then I was what? Everybody say it. Terrified. Remember what I said? When God takes us away from our own resources, plants his vision and his dream in our heart, and we go, God, that's way too big. It can paralyze us. It can it can be terrifying to us because humanly we can't figure it out. We pray and we lay it before the God. And here was Nehemiah. I was terrified. But I replied, long live the king. Good words. Okay. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Now what happens next is result of Nehemiah giving his dream in this moment to God in prayer. You're going to see what happens here. How God goes before us. He's given you that dream. He's given you the vision. God goes before you, goes before me, and he does something in his time. Then the king asked, well, how can I help you? How can I help you? Now, you just know that Nehemiah's heart just kind of whoop, lifted there, didn't it? How can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven. I love that. In that moment, right? I'm terrified. The king just asked, with a prayer. I replied, if it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on the way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself. I love that. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. I want you to see something, and it's this. Nehemiah, we're going to see to use two words here in just a moment, prayer and planning. This plan came out of prayer. So don't get them mixed up. It's not planning then prayer. God bless my plan. The plan of how God's going to develop this vision and dream comes out of prayer, and that's what happened. Out of prayer, Nehemiah presented this plan, and then he says the gracious hand of God was on me. Was on me. And when I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, has sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. So like God just went beyond what he even asked. It's like Nehemiah goes, hey, the king gave me all this. And oh, by the way, he sent all these horsemen and these officers to protect me as well. That's the way that God works. But two things come out that guide us, prayer and planning. And I'm going to say it again. Don't get them mixed up. God's granted you a vision, granted you a dream. Take it to him in prayer and allow his plans in your life to begin to develop. Now, in just 2 minutes, I'm going to talk about something really hard that's for all of us. And in fact, in your book there, your next book, I think I put this dot is dot hard dot. And it's this. We move from our timing to trusting God's timing. Oh, brother. We struggle, some of us, with this, don't we? Because we want to be in our timing because we're humanoids. We want it in our timing, God fit into our timing, but we have to move from our timing to God's timing. We see that in this story here of Nehemiah. It was all about God's timing. As God's timing began to develop, you see what happened. You see what happened. We have to move from here to there. And it's called the tension of time. And we live in that, don't we? We live, because we're human, we live in this thing called tension time between God's time and our time. But we submit these dreams, visions, plans, whatever they look like in your life, to God and his timing for your family, for your career, for who you are, for whatever Jesus has called you into, whatever it looks like, we submit to his timing. I read this story about a guy who was locked into his own time. I mean, he was fanatical about it. I mean, he was exceedingly punctual. Do you know people like that? You never have to wait. They're always there. So precisely every morning, his alarm went off at 6:30. Every morning. And so he would get up, and he would shave, and he'd get ready to go, eat breakfast, get into his car, grab his briefcase, drive to the ferry, park his car, get on the ferry, and get to work, and get his briefcase, set down, and sit down at his desk precisely at 8:01. Every day, 8 years, did the same thing. Not 7:59, not 8 o'clock, 8:01. Perfect. He was locked in his time. Until one day, his alarm didn't go off. And he woke up 15 minutes late. And he jumped up, and he's frantic, and he's rushing, and he nicks himself shaving, and he crams down some breakfast, and he grabs his briefcase, and he jumps in the car, and he heads to the ferry, and he jumps out of his car, and he sees the ferry 15 feet away from the dock. And he's thinking, if I run fast enough, you ferry people, have you thought about this? I can jump far enough, I can still get there. And so he goes running down the ferry dock, and he jumps, and with a thud, he lands on the ferry. The ferry captain comes up to him. He goes, "Well, man, that was a mighty fine jump. But if you would have waited just a few minutes, that ferry would have been at the dock." Okay, so. Okay, it's a story, okay? It's a story. You see, we can get so locked into our own time, can't we? We can get so locked into our... Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." As we lead toward home, and I'm going to pray with you in just a second, and the team's going to come out. God's birthed a vision in your heart for your family. Can you submit the timing to the Lord? If you're married for your spouse, can you submit the timing to the Lord? How about your business? Can you submit the timing to the Lord? Your relationship, can you submit the timing to the Lord? Can we say, Jesus, this is about you, not about me? Let me ask you some questions. Are you ready for God to use you when the right moment is presented? He's given you a vision. He's given you a dream. Are you ready when the right moment is to go? Are you praying for understanding from him? Have you prayed for a God-inspired plan in your life for whatever dream or vision he's given you? And most importantly, are you praying that God would be glorified through you? Because that's what this is all about. Jesus, be glorified. And so I'm going to lead you in prayer. I'm praying God rebirth some visions, some dreams, like he did in my heart, that he would do that for you too. That if we plant brand new visions and brand new things into your heart and into your life, that he wants to do in you and through you, and then as a community together, that takes us individually and as a faith community completely out of the equation. And we just let Jesus do his thing. So, Father, that's why I pray. Right now, you're rebirthing dreams and visions in the hearts of people. I know you are, like you did for me. God, bring those things to life. We've allowed maybe the confusion and life to kind of creep in and take us away from that thing that you planted in our heart. But, God, we're giving it to you right now. Rebirth it, I pray. God, we've tried to make it our thing. We want to give it to you. It's your thing. We've tried to make it in our timing, but God, we understand it's your timing. Our plans, but God, they're your plans. Help us to be people of prayer. God, I would pray that you would birth brand new dreams and visions of what you want to do in us and through us for your glory, for your kingdom, to make your name famous. God, take us outside of ourselves individually and as a faith community, and I'm asking you to join me in that prayer, online, wherever you are, here. God, take us out of ourselves. Make this about who you are. This is not about building Gateway. It's about building your kingdom. God, I believe that we are yet to see incredible things, Lord, that only you can do as we move away from our plan and what we have designed to what you have. God, put us in that position to completely trust in you, I pray. In Jesus' name.